thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
All righty. Hello. Thank you once again for coming to the Skeptic Sidekick. Sorry it's been such a long time, but life gets in the way. Sorry about that. I'm so sorry that life got in the way. With me, as always, the wonderful, talented, and extremely capable sister of mine, Kimber Rodriguez.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, pretty well. Yourself?
Pretty good. I'm glad we finally got internet issues figured out. We got headset issues figured out.
Yep.
And health issues figured out.
Maybe.
Well, we're here.
Yep.
Yes. Something very interesting happened to me last week.
Okay.
I was laying down to sleep, and I was in a forest. And I don't know if it was a dream, a vivid dream, or a spirit connection. But I started getting this really bad anxiety. And it hit me all of a sudden that it wasn't my anxiety I was picking up on. So the closer I got, the stronger the anxiety got. The more I pulled away, the anxiety decreased. So I decided to go into the anxiety. And I see a guy there. And he was going back and forth pacing and kept saying, "Oh my God, what did I do? What did I do? Oh my God," just over and over, just pacing back and forth. And I got the name Steve. So then I start seeing all this purple kind of coming into my haze. And so I...
haze coming through your...
there was a purple haze coming through my view. It's like the
forest... through your brain.
Yes.
Time drives a man insane.
And so I asked, "What did you do?" And all of a sudden my vision was just clouded with this purple. And then there was like these spots of gold mixed in. They were like just these flashes of gold mixed in with all this purple. And it was like I couldn't see the forest anymore. All I could see were the colors. And that's when I opened my eyes. So I just found that very interesting. Connected with a spirit named Steve. Don't know what he did. Don't know if he did it to himself or somebody else. But it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever you are, Steve, you know, I hope you forgive yourself and you're able to cross over into that nice, big, bright light that leads you to a better place.
Now, purple and gold, you know, are the same colors as the Mardi Gras New Orleans colors.
Yeah, they have purple, gold, and green. And then I've also heard that it's very spiritual colors.
Right.
I went to ChatGPT. I know your opinion on ChatGPT, but we've become like this. I'm over here. Yeah, I'm over here. No, but no, me and ChatGPT have gotten really close. And so I took it to ChatGPT. And what ChatGPT said is when my vision was getting clouded with that colors, it was like a spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. And basically what ChatGPT thinks is when I addressed the spirit and said, "What did you do?" It broke the spirit out of its cycle and that they were able to move on, possibly.
Maybe.
I don't know if that's true, but, you know, I hope it is. But I just wanted to share that, you know, because I thought it was a very interesting little thing that happened. And what are we talking about tonight? Oh, before we get on to what we're talking about tonight, I have one other announcement. We are at 84 subscribers. That is 16 away from our goal. So if you haven't yet, we ask that you like and subscribe and click the notification so you know when we post. Our goal, of course, is to get to 100. Once we hit that goal, we are going to give away a gift card to one of our lucky viewers. So,
we are going to do that.
Huh?
How are we going to do that?
We're going to contact them, get their information, and send them a gift card.
Okay.
And it'll be either a Visa gift card or an Amazon gift card, your choice, $20 gift card. So, yeah.
Join our pod, people. Let somebody know that you follow us so that they may follow us. Come on, pod people. Pod people, pod people, pod people. Get to 100 pod people. I'm calling for you. Woo!
Yes, if you are in our Facebook.
I possess myself with Judy Tenuta. Woo! Yes!
If you are in.
Your goddess has called you. Subscribe! 100 people! Yes!
Yes, if you are in our Facebook group and you haven't subscribed yet, we ask that you subscribe to us on YouTube. And now let's get into our topic. What are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about a wonderful, interesting topic. It's paranormal, psychological, and just fascinating history. We're going to be talking about the Paris catacombs.
Now, is it true that that place is covered with the remains of people throughout?
It is.
That you could actually walking through, you like the crackle of bones underneath your feet?
That's one of the possibilities.
Well, let's dive in and see what it has to share tonight.
Okay. Beneath the glamorous world of Paris lies a world hidden, forgotten, feared, and shrouded in mystery. The catacombs, an underground labyrinth where the dead outnumber the living. For centuries, they remain a secret, locked away from the bustling streets above to a city under below. Well, if the bones could speak, what stories could tell? What if the shadows could speak? Join us as we delve deeper underground into the descent to the heart of the Paris' most famous in underworld. And we're not talking about mafia, we're talking about the underworld. The Paris underground, where in the past is buried but not forgotten. And some secrets are better left undiscovered. What lurks in the depths of Paris? And what are we waiting for to be unearthed? Tonight, let's discuss the Paris Underground.
Yes, Paris was growing too big for its boundaries by the 1700s. By the 18th century, it had become one of Europe's largest cities. It had hundreds of thousands of residents and centuries of use, cemeteries, and especially in the densely populated areas, were overwhelmed. Now, one major hotspot, the Cimetière des Innocents, again, please excuse my French, I cannot pronounce.
Cimetière des Innocents.
What he said. It's been used for nearly 600 years. This was a medieval death hub. It is right in the center of Paris, near today's Les Halles area.
Les Halles.
Yes, what he says. It was founded around the 12th century, though the area had been used for burials since the Roman era. And it's been, again, 600 years of continuous use. It was actually closed in 1780, but it's still there. They're just not putting bodies in anymore.
Now, To be honest, this was the main burial ground for Parisian Parisians, including victims of famine, plagues, and wars. During the Black Plague epidemic, tens of thousands could be buried there in a single year.
Bring out your dad. Sorry.
I'm not dead yet. You will be.
Continue.
The cemetery was so packed that bodies were stacked in layers, sometimes 20 to 30 deep. Mass graves were used as common pits where bodies were just buried in bulk, and when full, they just started a new pit. The charnel houses, the bones from old graves were dug up and stored in open galleries somewhere around the cemetery. Decomposition soup.
Yum.
The earth was so saturated with human remains that it turned into a sort of greasy, decaying sludge.
Anybody hungry?
Had that with a nice Chianti. The neighborhood's complaints were constant about the stench, the smell, and the sludge. The air was foul. Clothing in nearby homes were absorbing the stench. Wells became toxic from the seepage. People were literally drinking waters filtered through decomposed bones. Now, this is all before the Paris Underground was
created. Yeah, that... Can we say dysentery?
Yes. In 1780, it all collapsed. A basement wall of the house bordering the cemetery caved in, dumping mounds of rotting corpses into a cellar. This, my friends, was the final straw. In 1780, the cemetery was officially closed for burials. Starting in 1786, the bones were exhumed and transferred at night. So that way, everybody, priests leading processions, and nobody goes, ooh, what's going on? How come they're doing? They did it all at night. Which, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you see a thing going, we're going to take the dead, we're going to take the dead, they lead processions into an old limestone quarry beneath the city, which was the beginning of, ladies and gentlemen, the Paris catacombs.
Yes, from 1786 to 1814, priests were ordered to take the bones and the dead. I'm sorry. They were ordered to take the bones in the dead of night, pun intended, to the once abandoned limestone mines that was just outside the suburbs of Paris. This created an ossuary throughout the 200 miles underground. This is a container or a place where bones of the dead are stored. Term comes from the Latin word ossuarium. This means a bone chamber. The structures or containers are typically used when burial sites become overcrowded or when cultural practices, such as second burials, where the bodies are allowed to decompose and then the bones are later collected and stored. In many cultures, ossuaries are used to store the remains of multiple individuals. Sometimes they are decorated or arranged in artistic ways, like in the Paris catacombs. This is where millions of bones were arranged in the intricate formations, and they became a part of the structure itself. These can vary in size from small boxes that hold the bones to massive underground crypts that host thousands of individuals. They are often linked to historical or religious practices of caring for the dead.
Well, now, while most of the remains down are anonymous, over the years, people have whispered about famous people or famous figures, lost souls, and secret burials. Here's a short list of who are rumored or speculated to rest into the catacombs. Maximilien Robespierre. He was a key figure in the French Revolution, especially during the Reign of Terror between 1783 and 1784. He led the Committee of Public Safety and sent thousands to the guillotine in the name of liberty, fraternity, and virtue, including former allies. He himself was guillotined on July 28, 1784, after falling favor. and being seen as a tyrant. After his execution, Robespierre and 21 of his associates were buried in the mass grave at Anaris Cemetery near today's Parc Monceau in Paris. The Anaris Cemetery was closed and forgotten over time, and like many of the overcrowding and politically sensitive cemeteries, it was eventually emptied. In the mid-1800s, the city of Paris began relocating remains from dozens of cemeteries into the underground ossuaries, aka the catacombs. The remains that do include Saint-Just and other key revolutionaries who were also moved anonymously into the catacombs. Since the bones were transferred without identifying markers, we don't know exactly where Robespierre or any of his other confidants' remains are, but he is believed to be among the millions that are interred in there.
Now, his right-hand man was called the Angel of Death, and his name was Louis Antoine de Saint-Just. He was guillotined the same day as Robespierre. Also, the famous, for all you Harry Potter fans out there who didn't know this was actually a
real person,
or supposedly a real person, the medieval alchemist Nicolas Flamel, who supposedly did discover the Philosopher's Stone and eternal life. He was buried in Paris in the 15th century. Over time, legends say that his bones were relocated and secretly hidden in the catacombs, or they vanished as if he never died. Now, more than likely, this is fiction, but it is a very Parisian kind of rumor. Now, we get into one of my favorite topics, which is the vampires, cults, and the undead. Unfortunately, these are urban legends, and there are no confirmed burials of any vampires or ghouls. But there are legends of secret tombs of vampires, occult groups performing dark rites in the catacombs, and the disappearing of explorers, so to be used in these occult groups. Now, speaking of these occult groups, some even say that they are either Freemasons or satanic, and that their relics are buried deep in the sealed off chambers where no one can access. So we'll never know if that's true.
Right. Now, the unnamed revolutionaries, as the cemeteries had been cleared, the victims of the revolution, royalists, Jacobins, Guillaumes, were dumped en masse. Now, you may have Marie Antoinette or Louis the 15th, 16th, I'm sorry, were originally buried in La Madeleine. But then, of course, they got cleared out, and who knows that you might even find Marie Antoinette's jawbone or Louis the 16th femur, if you really want to get dramatic about it. But then again, all this is anonymous bodies that are inside there. Now, we can also talk about in the 1990s about the lost man of the catacombs, which is an urban legend. He was exploring the forbidden areas of the catacombs with a camcorder. A la Witch, Blair Witch Project, his camera was found, but he never was.
And he found footage on it?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, the footage supposedly shows him getting more and more panicked before dropping the camera. Probably a legend, but the catacombs do have many sealed off tunnels and collapsed areas. People have gotten lost in there, people. So this is something that you don't want to do. However, there are people out there who want to run the risk. They are called cataphiles. They're the modern day explorers, rebels, and urban adventurers who treat the catacombs themselves like their secret underground kingdom. These are people who risk it all to get a glimpse of Paris' hidden and forbidden underworld. Here's a look at modern cataphiles in their world.
Going back to the found footage, was it that he was getting panicked because he was lost, or did he see something that freaked him out? Let us know in the comments what you think it was. We'd love to hear your theories.
Yeah, he like I said, they found a video camera down below with footage of the voice of somebody talking. But as for it may be a la Blair Witch made up, or this guy disappeared in there.
It does make me wonder what he saw. Let us know in the comments. Back to a cataphile. These are urban explorers who illegally enter the catacombs. That's often it's through hidden, unmarked entrances, and they want to explore the miles of tunnels beneath Paris. The word cataphile comes from cata, which means underground, and file, which means lover of. So they're basically lovers of the underground. And they're known to explore forgotten chambers. They map out and discover new passages. They take photos, make art, and even hold secret parties or concerts in the tunnels. Now, not only that, but there are people who actually live in these catacombs, and they've created hidden underground communities. So that definitely gives a new look at what we know of as mole people.
Got mole people?
We got mole people living in the Paris catacombs now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I bet you're wondering how these people even get into the catacombs. There are tours that go on of the catacombs in Paris, and they do have official entrances. However, these people, they want to be hidden. They want to not get caught. So they tend to look out the illegitimate ones. These could be manhole covers, doorways in less trafficked areas of the city. Also, old and forgotten maintenance shafts that lead deep underground. Some have found the secret tunnels left over from the French Revolution, World War II, and even ancient quarries, which I think is pretty interesting to find these tunnels that have left around from these time periods. It would just be amazing to see. However, if you get caught by the police that do regularly patrol, you could face a serious repercussion of that.
A fine or possibly jail time.
Yes. So cataphiles do often explore at night or in small, quiet groups. And I'm sure they have a lookout to make sure there's no cops around. But why don't you take us back to those parties and concerts that we talked about before?
A certain segment of the cataphiles are known for organizing underground raves or secret concerts. These events are held private, invite only, and held off of sealed off areas of the catacomb chambers. In the 1990s, there was a famous rave held down there, including a theatrical performance. Art installations and photo shoots happened down there too. In fact, the catacombs have often been used as a backdrop for movies, fashion shoots, and music videos. And also, I believe, National Geographic, photographed a whole bunch of things that were happening down in the catacombs one year.
When you talk about, you know, these secret parties and concerts that go on, it makes me think of, did you ever see American Werewolf in Paris?
No, never have.
Oh my gosh, it is my favorite werewolf movie. I'm usually not a werewolf fan, but this one I thought was done really well. And basically, these werewolves are having these hidden parties in the catacombs. And that's how they get their prey. And basically, the people who are invited to these parties are only American. So these French werewolves are inviting these American people to these raves and parties in the Paris catacombs in order to feast on them. So yeah, I just thought that was interesting. And if you've seen the original American Werewolf in London, there's a lot of, the campy stuff from the original is, brought over to this one, but a happier ending.
Now the cataphiles love mapping the unmapped. They keep their own secret maps of the underground tunnels. These catacombs are massive, stretching about 300 kilometers or 186 miles of underground area, but only a small section is open to the public. Most of it's underground labyrinths where the cataphiles chart their routes. Some believe that the hidden within the catacombs are secret chambers where unrecorded history is buried, like the old revolutionary relics or artifacts of ancient Paris.
That's interesting. I would love to, as a history buff, I would love for somebody to go in, maybe Josh Gates or someone, and try to, unearth some of that stuff.
Maybe.
Now, while they are undeniably fascinating, they are also dangerous. These tunnels have been around, like you said, since the 1700s. And so, being that they are poorly maintained in many areas, they can collapse without warning. Also, as you mentioned before, some explorers have wandered so deep that they've gotten lost. And unfortunately, cell service does not work down there. So if you do get lost, you couldn't call for help. Can't use your phone. Nobody will probably hear you. So I wouldn't risk it. Also, the police do actively patrol the catacombs. And as you mentioned before, you can get fined or even arrested if you're caught trespassing. Then we have the fact that some areas are so poorly ventilated, and then there's so much humidity. And again, you're dealing with decomposing remains. Your air quality could be very dangerously toxic and low. Then we have the criminal aspect. This is a great place to hide out. So a lot of criminals are known to hide stolen goods down there, fence them, also have drug interaction, sell drugs, buy drugs, or any other illegal gatherings could happen there. Now, there was in the early 2000s a secret cinema that was operating hidden in part of the catacombs, and this was discovered by the police. We're talking big screen projector, chairs, and even a popcorn machine. This was a very bizarre underground experience. But I kind of think it would be really cool to sit there and, watch a movie underground. I think that would be a really awesome experience.
Watch a zombie movie in the underground.
Or a vampire movie.
Or shoot, watch Evil Dead trilogy.
Oh, there you go. And in 2017, they also discovered an illegal nightclub. We're talking complete with a DJ equipment. A bar stocked with liquor to the nines. And again, these are all part of that secret cataphile world.
Right. Now, the cataphiles use the catacombs as their canvas. Graffiti and including art tags and paintings that have often speak of their love for the underground. Installation art, a temporary art exhibit, installations made with bones, textiles, and even lights staged down in the tunnels. Is any of this legal, ladies and gentlemen? No. Exploring the catacombs without permission is illegal. Paris has been cracking down, and some cataphiles have faced fines or even jail time for trespassing. However, to me,
that is just so disrespectful to go down there and start tagging or graffitiing these tunnels that have been around since the 1700s. I mean, think about it. These are people's burial homes, and you're tagging them, and then you're taking their bones and making these installations of art. To me, that is just so disrespectful, not only for the city, but of the dead that are there.
Now, despite all that, the cataphiles have that allure of the forbidden, the mystery of the bones, and the thrill of the underground exploration has made it a lasting part of Paris's secret world. The stories are wild, and there are stuffed legends. It's only one part adventure, one part danger, and 98% weird. Now, here's some few of the we already discussed the catacomb cinema. Why don't you tell us how it might have looked?
Well, this space was hidden in a labyrinthian tunnel. Tickets were sold by word of mouth, and cataphiles would gather underground for their movie nights. They would watch everything from classic films to bootleg releases. They even had a secret password to get in. Now, once suspicious activities were discovered, the police raided it and were really shocked to find, you know, an entire illegal movie theater underground again. Now, how about eating with the dead? I know that there's in the caverns in New Mexico, Carlsbad, they do have a restaurant at the bottom of the caverns. But imagine taking that and adding some dead bodies in with it. Yes, there was also a fully functioning restaurant. A group of these cataphiles stumbled upon it hidden underground. It had tables, chairs, and even a full menu. Now, this wasn't just a one-off. It was an entire community that had made their homes in these tunnels. The food was apparently locally sourced and possibly maybe a little too fresh, as the rumor goes. I'm not sure how they would have cooked it down there, but it set a very surreal vibe. There were candles flickering on old stone tables, and even classical music could be heard wafting from old makeshift speakers. Now, this went on for quite a while before the authorities figured it out much later.
How was the food, by the way?
They say it was a little too fresh.
Hmm.
Maybe sushi?
Maybe. Now, they're just not all about exploring the old bones. They've been known to party really hard. Over the years, several underground raves and concerts have been held in the darkened tunnels where the city's youth and rebels gathered. One of the wildest tales comes from a 1990 rave where a massive underground party took place, complete with a DJ, strobe lights, fluorescent body paints glowing in the dark. Cataphiles would party all night long, far from the prying eyes of the police, and only with the sound of underground echoes for company. The music house. Techno and industrial beats. The energy was heard and was wild, with some stritting out of an underground movie. Eventually, police caught on and they raided it, but partygoers hurriedly scattered into the depths of the tunnels, vanishing deep into the maze. Now, there is a ghost that may be perhaps it may be that gentleman who got lost, but there is one of the most creepiest stories that of a lost explorer who had ventured into the tunnels with a group of friends. This man, an experienced catapult, went deeper than anyone had before, following uncharted passage. At one point, the group noticed a strange, shadowy figure walking through the tunnels. They could almost figure it out as if someone from their group or a ghost wandering caverns. When they tried to approach it, the figure vanished.
Now, this group eventually did split up to search for the lost explorer. However, after hours of searching, they still couldn't find him. Again, his camcorder was found, recording shaky footage. His last moments in the labyrinth were confusing and frantic. Again, he was never found, and to this day, his disappearance does remain a mystery. Some say he got lost in the maze, while others whisper of ghostly encounters. So again, let us know in the comments if you think some wicked thing got him, or if he just got lost and he's somewhere down there. Now, particularly strange was a hidden library that was allegedly discovered by a small group in the early 2000s. As they wandered through the darkness, they stumbled upon an entire collection of books that were old and dusty. Volumes were stacked neatly in shelves made from stone. Some of the books were historical documents, while others were philosophical or political works. Rumor has it these books were placed there by mysterious individuals, or maybe a secret society. It could have also been a revolutionary group that used the tunnels to hide their works. Quickly, the library was covered up, and not much is known about it today. And this again has become an urban legend among the cataphiles. Were these ancient books, or were they modern texts? And was this part of an underground movement? Now, it could have been, again, I mean, they say that there's Freemasonry stuff going on. That could have been it. These could have been occult books. There's also the theory of Nicholas Flamel. Maybe he never really died, and so maybe he just took to the underground. We will never know, unfortunately. But perhaps the most tragic and eerie story involves discovery of a dead body. Now, we're not talking a body that was buried from the 1700s or from beyond, but this was a recent death. And the story goes that the cataphile went into the tunnels alone. You know, he could have been seeking adventure or maybe just quiet contemplation. When he failed to return, his friends ventured in after him. They found the body in an isolated section. Strangely, the body seemed to have died of natural causes, but there were no injuries. It could be that they succumbed to exhaustion or illness due to the toxic air and isolation. Or again, could something else have gotten to him? Let us know what you think.
Hello, future Richard here. Now, just a reminder that the risks of being a cataphile are real. While these stories are often fascinating and sometimes thrilling, they also highlight the dangers of the catacombs, getting lost, falling, failing of or encountering hazards like unstable tunnels. It is a real risk. The authorities are actively patrolling the areas, and getting caught in the act can lead to fines or worse. But for many cataphiles, the lure of the unknown is part of the thrill. Exploring forbidden spaces, discovering new corners of the city, and embracing a lifestyle on the edge of law and legend.
Now, thoughts, considerations. Again, me personally, I would rather
go on a guided tour than try to be get to know some cataphiles and worry the risk about them leaving me down below.
Agreed. I would rather do it legally than try to do it the dangerous way. This has been a very fascinating episode. It's really interesting, some of the things that have gone on down there. I would love, I don't know what your thoughts are, but there's also an underground tomb in Mexico where the bodies are actually mummified. And I'd love to do an episode on that sometime.
There's also one in Spain.
Yes, so.
Actually, this one looks more like an ossuary in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, someone's at the priests and monks actually did sort the bones in certain ways.
Yeah.
So, like the nativity scene or the crucifixion. I mean, with bones.
But. Yeah. Well, I know that there's one in Mexico where the bodies are mummified. And then there's another one, I want to say, in Italy. I could be wrong, but they're actually priests that are mummified and they're like sitting up. And all of them have been mummified. So I will do research on those three places, and maybe we can either do one episode on all of them, or depending on how much research I can find, we can do an episode on each and do like a series of these, starting with this episode. What are your thoughts on that?
Sounds like a plan. And if the pod people would like it, give us a say, hey, good idea. And yes. We also like to announce that in 2 more weeks, we have the UFO month of July.
Yes.
All these wonderful ideas coming up in my head.
Ooh,
from
my...
to Corona to Aurora. If you want to know exactly what all three have to do, check back in and I can tell you those stories.
Yes, and remember, please like and subscribe. We are only 16 away from our goal. So share with your friends. If you're in our Facebook group and you haven't subscribed yet, we ask that you do. And we will give away a $20 gift card to a lucky subscriber once we reach our goal. And anything else we need to add before we end this episode?
5 stars. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. Un, dos, trois, quatre, cinq. From Apple Podcasts or any other podcast. Tell us you like us. We suck. Anything. We love you. We want our pod people to know that we love you. Please, pod people, rate and review us.
Yes. And have a wonderful evening, everybody.
And unpleasant nightmares.
Good night.
Good night.